Welcome to the Great Detectives of Old Time Radio. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham. If you have a comment, email it to me, box13@greatdetectives.net. Follow us on Twitter at Radio Detectives, and check us out on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. Well, this year, we've got a really special Christmas gift for you, and that is a chance to see some old-time radio. I went ahead and hired an animator to animate about 3.5 minutes of a Bob Bailey, Yours Truly, Johnny Dollar story. One of my all-time favorite stories, The Nick Schern Matter and Part 4, and we'll be including that at videotheater.greatdetectives.net. I'll try to also have it up on YouTube, and as much social media as possible. I know already the clip's too long to go on Twitter, but I'll have a link over there. But I do want to encourage you to check it out. It's a great little treat to see some Johnny Dollar action animated. So check that out, videotheater.greatdetectives.net, or if some other social media such as YouTube works for you, youtube.greatdetectives.net. But now it is time for this week's episode of The Man Called X. And we're going to the Christmas episode. After we talk about the main Christmas episode, we'll have kind of a rare bonus treat for you, which is also a sort of Man Called X story. We'll get to that after the main feature. But let's go ahead and take a listen. Our original air date is December the 23rd. 1950, and the title is From a Starlit Hill.
Now we present Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X, the Saturday night feature on NBC's five-show festival of comedy, music, mystery, and drama, brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. Herbert Marshall as The Man Called X. Wherever there is mystery, intrigue, romance, in all the strange and dangerous places of the world, there you will find The Man Called X. Tonight you can sit back and relax and enjoy a good feeling because Christmas shopping is over for another year. Tomorrow you may want to put the last fancy ribbons and wrappings on the packages and scatter them under the tree. And you're going to have an enchanted Christmas this year if you're one of the thousands who will wrap a big bright ribbon around a beautiful new RCA Victor television radio phonograph combination and proudly place it by the Christmas tree. Three worlds of wonderful entertainment will be brought to your fireside and into your home, all wrapped up in one matchless RCA Victor instrument with a bright Christmas ribbon around it. Three worlds of entertainment for the whole family to enjoy day after day and year after year. If you're one of those happy families, you're in for a wonderful time this weekend and all year because RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, and first in television, we'll bring into your home that special morning a very special Merry Christmas. By special request, we're repeating this story as a reminder that Christmas is one time of the year when even miracles can happen. A time for a shabby world to lift up its tired eyes and learn once again to hope and to dream. And a time for the strangest adventure in the whole career of the man called X.
Through to Cairo, Chief. They still don't have any report on Mr. Thurston.
Oh. Then try checking again with Tehran, Miss Brooks.
All the Tehran lines are out of order. Cairo says there's a terrific storm over the Transjordan Hills.
Transjordan? That's right in the route Ken must have taken.
You don't think he's run into trouble?
All I know is that Ken chartered a plane in Tehran and took off for Egypt with Pagan Zelschman aboard. Right now, he's 4 hours overdue at Cairo, and there's been no report on him.
He must be all right. Got to be all right.
What were you planning to do Christmas, Miss Brooks? Take a trip?
Well, no. I thought I'd probably stay here in the city. I mean, well...
I see. Well, he still has time to get home for Christmas.
Oh, but, Chief, I didn't
mean... It's all right, Miss Brooks. I understand. I don't know. I don't know. There's a dozen simple things that might have happened. But believe me, I'd give a lot to know what Ken's doing right this minute.
Blacker than the inside of a head out there, Mr. Thurston.
Hucky, can you even see what's aflight this plane?
Pagan, I can't.
Then what are we going to do?
I know what I'd like to do is that mechanic can tear around. Not an instrument on this board is working right.
Oh.
The way we've been kicked around in this storm, I don't even know what.
Mr. Rex, the engine's come out.
Yeah.
What do we do now?
If I could only get one look at the ground, I don't even know how far up we are.
I think I'm as good as death pigeon, right? Just look, in that lightning flash.
Yeah, top of a hill. Get ahead.
We're gonna hit.
If I can get it leveled off, hang on, Pagan.
Mr. Thurston, we gotta do something. We can't just lie there. Say something, Mr. Rex. Can't you hear me?
I can hear you, Pagan.
I'm getting very dizzy, Mr. X. I don't know. I think I'm... I can't.
Come out now. Come outside to the top of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Come out. Out into the night. Stand with me here. And look at the world.
Yes. All right, I'm coming. Wait for me. I heard you calling out here in the darkness, child.
It was you whom I called, sir.
A storm was raging, but now it's grown very still. And there are a million glittering stars.
There can be no storm where I am.
Yes, I know. The friend who was with me, what about him?
He lies there in the great bird that fell from the sky, even as you do. So will it be for a time.
I understand. But you, child, why are you here alone in the night?
I came to look for one last time at a foolish world before leaving it.
Before?
I have decided I shall not grow up.
Not grow up? But you're very young. Younger than I've ever believed. Why have you decided this?
Because to grow, I must live. Men must want me to live. And no place on earth today can be called my home. Listen. Can you not hear it? The voice of the world rising up out of the dark valleys below this hill.
Yes, I can hear it.
That voice. It's so terrible with its jealousy, greed, selfishness, hate.
It's not pretty.
Can I live and grow up in a world like that?
Oh, but child, you can't judge mankind from the top of a hill. You have to go down among them.
I've been down among them. Seen their wars and heard rumors of wars.
There are other things to hear. When you know how to listen, and I can show them to you. Come with me now.
Down there? Down in those valleys? How can we?
Why not? It's Christmas, so anything can happen. Come along, child. Come with me.
The little boy who's playing.
Tiny Tim?
He's crippled, isn't he?
Yes. Wait. Listen.
Ah, lad, you play it better every month. It's a great virtuoso you'll be, Tiny Tim.
It's a marvelous song, Timmy boy.
Oh, thank you, everyone. Maybe when spring comes, I shall be able to play for pennies in the streets. Then I'll be a help to you, Father.
Bless you, lad.
Now I think I should tune my fiddle. One string was ever so slightly flat, you know.
Such a serious lad.
She says strange things sometimes. He told me in church this morning he hoped all the people would see him and remember who made lame beggars walk and blind men see.
Oh, it's a lucky family we are, Robert. There's few in this world that have as much as we.
Oh, that's something of a joke, my dear, with the little I'm able to give you.
Robert Cratchit, when I think of all the years we've had, and such wonderful children, and you always so cheerful and understanding of our needs.
Oh, go along with you now. And what about that surprise?
Heart alive, I'd almost forgotten it. Quiet, everybody. I have a surprise for you. Don't bring it right in.
Now, I wonder what it could possibly be.
I'll wager I can guess, Father.
Look, everyone. Here it is.
A plum pudding blazing like the sun itself.
It's saying Merry Christmas to all of us.
Yes, and God bless us.
God bless us, everyone.
Timmy, lad, such a beautiful dish needs a real salute. Take your fiddle and play us an overture to the pudding.
Yes, an overture to the pudding.
Any reason why you couldn't find a home there, child?
Oh, it would be so easy if all people were like them.
There are a great many like them, if you know where to look.
What are their names, the family we saw?
That was the family of a certain Bob Cratchit, a clerk in the London firm of Scrooge and Marley in the year 1840.
Oh, the Christmas Carol. Those were not even real people. They came from a book. Must I live then only in old books? This is here and now. Things are different.
Are they so very different? Look up. Aren't those the same stars that glittered overhead 100 years ago? Or 1,000? Or 10,000?
Real people sleep in the dirt and never look at the stars.
Not all of them. I can think of one right now on the other side of the earth. In a little flat in Queens. I could walk up a certain stairway there tonight and ring a doorbell.
Ken Thurston.
Hello, Marion.
Oh, Ken, come in. Oh, it's good to see you. Here, let me take some of those packages.
Well, thanks. Guess I was pretty well loaded down.
Who is it, Mommy? Who's there?
It's Mr. Thurston, Donnie. You remember, Daddy's friend.
Hey, sure, I remember. Hello, Mr. Thurston.
Hiya, Donnie.
Look, packages. I'll bet you they're presents.
Take them into the other room, dear, and put them around your tree.
All right. Boy, I wonder what's inside of these old packages anyway.
Oh, he's growing so fast, Ken. And every day he looks more like Jerry did.
Yes, I've noticed that.
I wouldn't want it any other way, Ken. That's how it should be. Why, it's the only reason for my still being alive.
You're a pretty brave girl, Marion.
No, it was Jerry who was brave at Anzio. What he did was for Donnie, too, you know.
Are you getting along all right, Marion? Is there anything you need?
We're getting along perfectly. Oh, I resent my job keeping me away from my son in the daytime. But we the evenings, and the park on Sundays, and snow in winter, and merry-go-rounds, and ice cream sodas, and... Oh, don't worry about us, Ken. We'll be all right.
Yes. If there's one thing in this shaky world I'm certain of, it's that. You'll be all right. Well, child, I could open other doors like that one, many others.
But she was a heroine, and they are too few and far between.
Try to walk 100 steps without finding one.
It is of no use. I know you as one whom sometimes men call X. You too fight for my cause. But the world is filled with hate, and I shall live in it no longer.
All right. Then I'll show you why you've got to live. Grow up. Even if it takes proof so fantastic as to seem incredible.
How can you? How can you know what I need when you don't even know my name?
Would you like me to say it for you?
Could you? You know who I am?
Yes, child. I know who you are. I know very well who you are.
We'll continue with The Man Called X in just a moment.
The next time you suffer from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia, take Anacin. You'll bless the day you heard of this incredibly fast way to relieve these pains. Now, the reason Anacin is so wonderfully fast-acting and effective is this. Anacin is like a doctor's prescription. That is, Anacin contains not just one, but a combination of medically proven active ingredients in easy-to-take tablet form. Thousands of people have received envelopes containing Anacin tablets from their own dentist or physician, and in this way discovered the incredibly fast relief Anacin brings from pains of headache, neuritis, or neuralgia. So, the next time a headache strikes, take Anacin for this wonderfully fast relief. Anacin, A-N-A-C-I-N. Anacin comes in handy boxes of 12 and 30. Economical family size bottles of 50 and 100. Get Anacin at any drug counter. And now to continue with The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall with Leon Belasco as Pagan Zellschmidt. Somewhere between Cairo and Tehran, a plane carrying Ken Thurston and Pagan fought its way through a raging storm. In a blinding flash of lightning, a hilltop loomed ahead, and a second later, the plane smashed into it. Then suddenly the storm was gone. A million cold, bright stars glittered overhead, and Ken stood outside on the hilltop, talking to a strange little girl who seemingly came from nowhere, everywhere. Proof, indeed, that at Christmas time, anything can happen.
You must know that I want to live and to grow. I've loved this world, seen beautiful things happen in it, and found hope in them. And then each time I've seen that hope die. The world has not grown wise nor clean. The years have only made it old and unclean. Not fit to live in.
There's hope in it yet, child. Hope for both of us. After all, I think we're both searching for the same thing.
I'm done with searching. And with hoping. And with living.
And what of those who follow you, believe in you? What about those people who all their lives put the needs of humanity above their own needs?
Are there such on the earth anymore?
Are the stars still overhead?
Do you know even one?
I know a lot of them, down in those valleys below us. But let's take just one. A man I've known for a long time. I've got a pretty good idea where he might find him tonight. Look a long way off, child. Look half around the world.
Possibly some stricture there, all right. Thrombus, maybe. How's the pulse? Still fast?
97, Doctor.
Well, that's all we can do now. What time is it, Miss Nelson?
After midnight.
Oh, good Lord. No wonder I'm tired.
Dr. Richards, I've been a supervisor with this hospital long enough to have a right to contradict you once in a while.
About what?
You're not tired because it's after midnight. You're tired because you haven't had a decent night's sleep in 5 years.
Oh.
What's more, you had a checkup at the clinic 6 months ago. I happen to know what they told you.
Oh, they didn't know what they were talking about. A bunch of crepe hangers.
They told you to work only 4 hours a day. Now, when are you going to start doing it?
4 hours a day. When people are dying 24 hours a day.
There are other doctors.
Yeah, and there are other problems for them, too. Why, you've seen kids like this come in here year after year, and we can never do a darn thing for them. Well, now, after 5 years, I can do something for him, and in another year, I'll have the technique perfected so every doctor can use it.
If you live long enough.
Yes, well, I'll live long enough. If I stopped now, threw away the chance to beat this thing just so I could live another 20 years, then, why, there'd be no sense to anything in this world.
You've got a life, too, Dr. Richards.
Poppycock. I suppose you think I'm a fool, Miss Nelson.
If I told you what I think you are, you'd... You just laugh it off. No. No, Dr. Richards. I don't think you're a fool.
Can't you believe there are others, child? Other people who think of their fellow men first and themselves second.
Yes. Oh, yes, there must be others.
And can't they be called believers in you, these selfless people?
Yes. But they, too, were heroes. Ordinary people must believe. If I'm to live and grow up.
Well, what could be more ordinary than a boy and girl in love? Paris or London, Vienna, Shanghai, New York. There's nothing in the world so beautifully ordinary as a boy and girl in love.
It's lovely out there across the harbor. Even like tonight when it's foggy.
As long as you're in it, honey, the whole world's lovely.
We're terribly lucky, you know. Supposing we hadn't found each other.
Well, we couldn't miss. We're a natural.
How could you tell? The first time, I mean. What made you know you were in love with me?
You came down the street in a crowd. And all of a sudden, there wasn't any crowd. Only you. So I decided I must be in love.
Do you think there may be other people as happy somewhere in the world?
Not a chance.
Oh, there must be. People who are in love, too. Millions of them. Oh, I love every one of them.
Now I am jealous.
No, but you do, too. You know you do. It makes you feel close to them.
Yeah. I guess I do it there.
Listen. Isn't that a mournful sound?
I can't hear it. When I look at you, all I can hear is music.
I know. I can hear it, too.
The most beautiful music in the world says I love you.
I love you, my darling.
Oh, it's true. There are millions who love someone else. And with them, I can have hope. For they can see beyond themselves.
Sometimes far beyond. Far enough to see you and believe in you.
They do want me to live and grow up. All those who love.
There are even greater reasons, child. But they're in a place a long way off from the starlit hill and the dark valleys and the wrecked plain lying over there.
Then we can go to them. We can go anywhere tonight. Because it's Christmas time when anything can happen.
We can try. Do you know what time means?
It's a stream that flows forever in one direction.
We'll have to move against it, for this place lies far up the stream, toward the headwaters of time, outside the universe, a long way off. But we can try.
Have we come?
This is the realm of tomorrow.
But all of these wonderful things, I have no names for them.
There are no names for them, child. They're still a part of tomorrow.
This one, how beautiful. Look at it. Just look at it.
It's one of tomorrow's dreams, child. Gilded with expectation, gleaming with fulfillment. That's one of tomorrow's hopes.
And here's another. So proud and so splendid.
It's an ideal, not yet realized. Another part of tomorrow.
Oh, there are so many wondrous things. Things never seen on the face of the earth.
Nor will they ever be. If you decide not to live.
Wait. This door. Where does it lead?
Why not open it? Find out.
I will. I will. Babies. Millions of babies. Look at them.
Those are the unborn. And they'll never be anything else unless you decide to live.
Oh, they're so beautiful. Everything here is so beautiful. It can't be lost. We can't let it be lost.
The choice is yours, child. It's your choice.
I've made my choice. Let's go back. Back to the hill and the stars. valleys of the world.
But the voice of hate still sounds from it. Have you forgotten?
No. But hate only sounds big because it has the loudest voice. I can hear another sound, far off in the black night. It's a voice from the hearts of heroes. A song of hope and love and understanding.
You call them heroes. Why not men of goodwill?
Men of goodwill. I can live in a world that has such men.
And you must live for such men. They are the ones who believe in you.
Yes. And they must believe as I believe in them. Know this, you who are called X. I shall live and I shall grow. And someday I shall rule this world.
Wait, don't go.
I must. It is nearly dawn. You are waking up. You understand? You are waking up. You are waking up.
Yes. Yes. I understand. Oh, what? What? Oh. Pagan. Pagan. Pagan.
Look out. Look, we're going to hit.
Oh, Pagan.
What? Oh. Mr. X, what happened?
Came in for pretty rough landing in the dark. Must have been out cold for hours. The dawn's starting to break over there.
Oh, I'm so stiff. I must have broken a leg or something.
Let's get out of this wreck and walk around a little.
Mr. Thurston, you shouldn't have woke me up. I was having a beautiful dream all about money.
Yes, I had a dream too. Hand me that map.
Huh? Oh, here. Was it about money, Mr. X?
It was about a little girl.
A little girl? Anybody we know?
Oh, somebody a lot of people know. And a lot of others ought to know.
Yeah? What's her name?
Oh, the French call her Pay. The Romans used to call her Pax. Pagan? Her name is Peace.
Peace. That's a strange name.
Oh, she's a strange little girl. Come on, Pagan. Let's get out of this wreck.
Hey, look, Mr. X. Down there in the flat. It's a little town.
Yeah. That's what I was checking on the map. Come on. I want to get a wire off to the chief.
Which way? Down this path?
No, Pagan. Straight ahead. Toward the sunrise.
Mr. Thurston, look. The sun's coming up. It's shining on all those houses, turning them purple and red and gold. All kinds of colors. Hey, what's the name of that little town anyway?
Pagan, if the map is right, if that dream was true, that little town is called Bethlehem.
Here is our star, Mr. Herbert Marshall.
Thanks for being with us. And thank you, Anne Whitfield, for your sweet performance. I wish I could see all of you out there, see you and talk with you and shake your hand. Because almost anything can happen at Christmas, I almost feel that I can. And so, I say to you, each of you, for all of us on The Man Called X, from the bottom of our hearts, Merry Christmas. Next week, Mr. X goes deep into the jungles of the Belgian Congo, the land of voodoo and superstition. And not the least of the things he has to contend with is that old headhunter, Pagan Zellschmidt, played as usual by Leon Belasco. So join us, won't you, when next I return as The Man Called X. Good night.
The Man Called X, starring Herbert Marshall, is a Saturday night feature on NBC's five-show festival of comedy, music, mystery, and drama. Brought to you by RCA Victor, world leader in radio, first in recorded music, first in television. And by the makers of Anacin for fast relief from pain of headache, neuritis, neuralgia. The Man Called X is a J. Richard Kennedy production with music composed and conducted by Felix Mills. Tonight's story was written by Les Crutchfield. All characters and incidents on this program are fictitious, and any resemblance to actual characters or incidents is purely coincidental. Also heard in tonight's cast were Will Wright, Barbara Fuller, Eric Snowden, Irene Tedrow, Henry Blair, Theodore Von Eltz, Lucille Meredith, Maggie Morley, and Harry Bartell. Be sure to listen tomorrow evening for The Big Show with Tallulah Bankhead and a great parade of stars, the Sunday night feature of NBC's All-Star Festival. And until next week, same time and same station, this is Jack Latham saying goodnight for The Man Called X. Now the hit tunes of your hit parade. Tomorrow it's The Big Show on NBC.
Welcome back. Well, as referenced, they had repeated the same story that they did on CBS back in 1947. One key difference was the scene with the chief and Miss Brooks, which I actually really enjoyed. It was kind of nice to bring home the fact that Miss Brooks is really fond of Pagon Zellschmidt. It's referenced that he's able to get information out of her, but it's nice to hear that there's some genuine affection, and for the chief to be a little bit sympathetic about it. As to the episode itself, I do know that there were a few listeners who, when we played it last year, were not very happy with the episode. And I think that's understandable, because in many ways, from a perspective of modern audio, there's some big problems with it. I think that you can definitely say that it's a bit preachy, and probably not in a way that really connects with listeners in a great way. Even some message-based stories don't quite have the same thing going on as this particular episode. For example, take the Charlie Brown Christmas special, which definitely has a very clear message, but also features a relatable protagonist going through a problem that kind of leads to examining what Christmas is about and asking the question. Here we have Ken Thurston trying to communicate to a child who is, in fact, the abstract concept of peace. That's harder to wrap your mind around and get invested in. That said, I do think that the play does have merit. It speaks to an idea, a feeling that a lot of people have at this time of year. Because Christmas points us to the highest ideals and the best sort of world. And the image it paints kind of shows how we so often come short as individuals and as society. And it's a feeling a lot of people have had. Henry Wadsworth Longfellow, the hymn, I Heard the Bells on Christmas Day, in the middle of this great hymn, has this line: "And in despair I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said, for hate is strong and mocks the song of peace on earth, goodwill to men." So in many ways, it touches on this very common chord and feeling that people have, even if it doesn't do so in a way that is friendliest to the modern audience. Which is why I still think it's a connection. I thought that one of the more interesting parts was towards the beginning, where we first met the fictional Cratchit family, and the question arose whether it would only live in books, in fiction, in made-up worlds, but not actually be present in the real world where people live and sweat and breathe. I found it interesting, but very much on point for where the post-war world was at, that a big part of the answer lay in the future and in optimism about what might lie ahead and what mankind might achieve. And so much of the spirit of particularly the 1950s had this focus on the future, on progress, on how mankind was going to solve problems. And the future was bright, and you just needed to keep going. Now, as I've been thinking about this episode, I think there's also another way that you can look at it, at least in part, is that Thurston's conversation was mostly internal. At the end of the episode, he describes what happened as a dream. So he's not necessarily asking us to believe that he met the personification of peace. If it was a dream, then it seems to me that the child peace that he met and talked to and encouraged was actually part of himself. If you think about it, Thurston deals with the darkest forces on the planet at the time. Not just your average enemy agents, but people who are willing to let thousands of people die so that they can make a few bucks. And he's constantly losing people who he considers friends. You know, one out of three, one out of four cases, somebody he knew dies and he's got to solve the case. He takes care of it, yet he rarely savors the victory. He always knows that he's won one battle against the forces of evil, that the war continues, and there are many foes, new ones emerging all the time. Oftentimes, he speaks like a prophet of old, warning of doom if the world doesn't change its ways. And the man called X's never-ending fight leaves little time for self-reflection, for mourning the losses, and few opportunities to deal with the doubts and confront his fears. But in this plane crash, with him unconscious, you can make the case that he is dealing with and confronting his own fears that his mission and life's work are in vain, and that maybe the forces of darkness are unstoppable. And there's no place for peace or for the man called X. Now, that's just one theory, and if that totally ruins the series or the episode for you, you can just disregard it. But I was just kind of thinking maybe that could be viewed as part of what's happening here. All right, well, something completely different now. I was looking through the radiography of Herbert Marshall and found that he did an episode of the Blue Network Christmas program, Christmas on the Blue, from December the 15th, 1944. And the master of ceremonies is singer Gracie Fields. Let's go ahead and take a listen.
Big bang to give as hearty a welcome as we know to that great star of the entertainment world. From the Blue to you, our Christmas good wishes, Herbert Marshall.
Thank you, Gracie, and greetings of the season to you and to all the Blue and all America and all the world, with obvious exceptions.
But I know I speak for all of us when I say that we lend our ears on Saturday night to your show, The Man Called X, without fail.
Oh, thank you. I never miss your show, Gracie. It's excellent.
Well, thank you, but your show has so much excitement and pace and drama.
Oh, my dear Gracie, I must protest.
In fact, we have a spot on our show for you as Mr. X. X marks the spot. Uh-huh.
Now, you shouldn't have bothered.
Oh, presenting Herbert Marshall in The Man Called XYZ.
Oh, really?
It's the case of the missing claws, Chris Kringle comes a cropper.
The double cross.
Calling Santa Claus, come in, please. Calling Santa Claus, come in, please. Oh, Santa Claus, come in, wherever you are.
here, radio listeners, is the latest news about the mysterious disappearance of the well-known gift tycoon Santa Claus. The Greenland Weather Observation Post saw Claus riding a fair wind with his reindeer prancing along in good shape. Weather conditions remain favorable, but he's not been heard from since. Foul play is suspected. The Emergency Council is now meeting in New York to take steps.
Gentlemen, you have been called into the Emergency Council to see if you can make suggestions as to the possible cause of the disappearance of Santa Claus. But you have been of no help.
As battling a case as I, Sherlock Holmes, have ever met and must.
Amazing, my dear Holmes, amazing.
Shut up, Watson.
Yes, my dear Holmes, yes, Holmes.
We are desperate, gentlemen. Do you realize that if Santa Claus does not show up, millions of people will be without gifts? Where's the thin man?
He slipped out under the door. The saint went down to the bar. The FBI took Mr. Moto back to the clink, and Charlie Chan got his tongue caught in a proverb. Gentlemen, there is only one answer. We must call on the man.
You mean...
Yes, I mean...
Oh, you don't mean my...
No, I don't mean him.
But you do mean...
If you don't mean me, I'm going back to my Christmas dinner.
It is he.
The man called...
Call me Y. I'm in disguise.
Oh, won't you slip off your disguise, Mr. X? It's so hot in here.
Yes, it's a little stuffy.
I resent that, X.
Sorry, old boy. I meant to be offensive. Now, you will see me as I really am. I remove my beard, my dark glasses, and my false nose. Presto. Thank you, madam. Thank you.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
we
are baffled by the disappearance of Santa Claus, who was last seen in his sleigh heading toward this country.
We must find Claus. How did you hear from him before he disappeared?
He's on our shortwave, two-way beam, but now he does not answer our call-up. We suspect foul play.
Indeed, if we didn't suspect foul play, we detectives would have a devil of a time making a living.
Oh, that's a good one, X. Oh, that's a very good one.
Shut up, Watson.
Oh, my dear Holmes.
Have you the transcript of the log on the shortwave station just before his disappearance, if I'm not being too technical?
Why, yes, here it is, right here.
Uh-huh. Calling S. Claus. Calling S. Claus. Over. This is S. Claus. Wind 90, speed 150, course 190, ceiling 210, correction, ceiling 200.
I wonder what made him lower the ceiling.
Obviously the OPA. That was Claus's last transmission.
Yes. Then the radio announcer read the news.
Yes, I have it right here. Quote, tonight the OPA... I knew they had something to do with it. Tonight, the OPA decided... very interesting.
What could the OPA say that would affect Santa Claus?
Gentlemen, the case is solved. And not only that, but I've got two clues and a wet footprint left over.
Wonderful. X brings home the bacon.
Bacon and X. Oh, very good one.
Shut up, Watson.
Oh, Holmes.
There's not a moment to lose. Come on, all of you. Here we are. Hurry.
The shortwave station. X, you're stubborn as a mule. I feel like a blind sheep following you on a wild goose chase.
Or would you rather be a fish? Quick, give me the shortwave transmitter circuit that Santa Claus is listening to.
Here's a microphone, sir. But we've been calling him without avail. I fear he's crashed, sir.
This is X testing. 1, 2, button my shoe. 3, 4, shut the door. Calling Santa Claus. Calling Santa Claus. S.A., N.T.A. S.A., N.T.A. Message for you. Message follows. What you heard on the news broadcast does not, I repeat, does not apply to you. I say again, what you heard on the news broadcast does not, I repeat, not apply to you. Come in, please. Over.
This is Santa Claus. Roger. Taking off for the United States. Course 190. Full speed ahead. Stand by for a chimney landing in every home in America. That is all. Over and out.
Did you hear that?
Good old man. Hooray!
Mr. X, we cannot thank you enough. But how did you ever find out what made Santa Claus stop his trip from the North Pole? What did he hear in the news broadcast?
Elementary, Mr. X?
No, elementary, Mr. Holmes. Here is what made Santa stop his trip. I read the news from the broadcast. Quote, tonight the OPA decided that the meat shortage is so acute... that reindeer will now be sold in butcher shops.
You're amazing, amazing, my dear.
Shut up, Watson.
Oh, Holmes, go home.
Welcome back. Well, a silly piece of fluff, but I do have to be honest that when he did the line, would you rather be a fish? I did really chuckle at that. As an actor, Marshall can really be quite urbane and sophisticated, but he never took himself too seriously. So he could just swing into this really silly comedy without it seeming unnatural. But the idea of Herbert Marshall saying that is funny. There are a couple things I will clarify. When Gracie Field said the man called XYZ, Z is actually how the English say the letter Z, or what we Americans call the letter Z. Gracie Fields was British, although I don't think her accent, as we hear in this particular clip, comes through as particularly British. I had not heard Zed at all until a few years ago, and that's from listening to British audio drama. So that might have momentarily thrown some in the listening audience, but I think the episode went like full steam ahead. I also did want to address the Mr. Moto reference. While the internment of Japanese Americans was a horrible thing that was happening in 1944, the Mr. Moto reference really was not about American citizens of Japanese heritage, because in the original Mr. Moto novels, Mr. Moto was a Japanese secret agent working for the Empire of Japan. Now, there were later iterations of Mr. Moto that were portrayed as Japanese-American, including the Mr. Moto or IA Moto radio series starring James Monks that we played a few years back. And there was also a film in the 60s. But if the original Mr. Moto as an agent of the Empire of Japan were in the United States at the time of World War II, FBI would have some very legitimate business with him. So that was what that was about. Now it is time to thank our Patreon supporter of the day. Thank you to Rebecca, Patreon supporter since February, currently supporting the program at the Detective Sergeant level of $7.14 or more per month. Thanks so much for your support, Rebecca. And that will do it for today. This actually concludes our Great Detectives of Old Time Radio Christmas programs. However, if you want even more Christmas programs, check out The Amazing World of Radio, amazing.greatdetectives.net. We have Christmas programs today, tomorrow, and Friday. So if you want, check those out. Also, if you are enjoying this podcast on YouTube, be sure to like the video, subscribe to the channel, mark the notification bell. Next week, we'll be presenting Boxing Week on Wednesday, and then we'll be back in 2 weeks with another episode of The Man Called X. Coming up tomorrow, it's an episode of Philo Vance where...
Yeah, who is it?
Me, Silk. Sam Billings.
Come in and sit down, Sam. I want to talk to you.
Okay.
Yeah, I sent for you so I could make you a present of some easy cabbage. Sit down, kid, sit down.
I come over because it was near the gym and I just got finished watching Mike Daggett work out. Not because you sent for me, Silk.
Well, you won't be sorry. Sam, I've been managing the champ for 8 years now.
I know.
We got a couple of more years of easy dough ahead of us if your boy don't cop the Duke tomorrow night.
I ain't doubting that, Silk. Only my boy's a breeze to win. I know it, he knows it, and you know it, or you wouldn't be sending for me.
Maybe. Sam, look. We ain't in this business for love, are we, huh?
No,
none of us are. Now, suppose I fix it so you and your boy make more dough by losing. You interested?
You want Mike to lay down?
That's right. On a golden pillow with an awful lot of cash for a blanket. Hey, where you going?
Out. No dice on your deal, Silk. Mike fights clean. He fights honest. That's it.
Not yet, it ain't. You stand between me and a fortune, Sam.
If I am, I ain't moving out of the way.
Oh? Okay. Want to play rough, huh? Well, I'll toss you out of here right in your ear,
hey,
Sam.
Hey, let go of me, you.
Yeah, sure, but this is just a sample of what you get if you let your lip get loose. Chum.
I hope you'll be with us then. In the meantime, do send your comments to box13 at greatdetectives.net. Check us out on Twitter at Radio Detectives and follow us on Instagram, instagram.com/greatdetectives. From Boise, Idaho, this is your host, Adam Graham, signing off.